brain scans. At the same time, scientists were beginning to understand some of the physics behind the workings of the brain. In the 19th century, scientists suspected that electrical signals were being transmitted inside the brain. In 1875, Richard Catton discovered that by placing electrodes on the surface of the head, it was possible to detect the tiny electrical signals emitted by the brain. This eventually led to the invention of the electroencephalograph, EEG. In principle, the brain is a transmitter over which our thoughts are broadcast in the form of tiny electrical signals and electromagnetic waves. But there are problems with using these signals to read someone's thoughts. First, the signals are extremely weak, in the milliwatt range. Second, the signals are gibberish, largely indistinguishable from random noise. Only crude information about our thoughts can be gleaned from this garble. Third, our brain is not capable of receiving similar messages from other brains via these signals. That is, we lack an antenna. And finally, even if we could receive these faint signals, we could not unscramble them. Using ordinary Newtonian and Maxwellian physics, telepathy via radio does not seem to be possible. Some believe that perhaps telepathy is mediated by a fifth force, called the psi force. But even advocates of parapsychology admit that they have no concrete, reproducible evidence of this psi force. But this leaves open the question, what about telepathy using the quantum theory? In the last decade, new quantum instruments have been introduced that, for the first time in history, enable us to look into the thinking brain. Leading this quantum revolution are the PET, positron emission tomography, and MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, brain scans. A PET scan is created by injecting radioactive sugar into the blood. This sugar concentrates in parts of the brain that are activated by the thinking process, which requires energy. The radioactive sugar emits positrons, anti-electrons, that are easily detected by instruments. Thus, by tracing out the pattern created by antimatter in the living brain, one can also trace out the patterns of thought, isolating precisely which parts of the brain are engaged in which activity. The MRI machine operates in the same way, except it is more precise. A patient's head is placed inside a huge donut-shaped magnetic field. The magnetic field makes the nuclei of the atoms in the brain align parallel to the field lines. A radio pulse is sent into the patient, making these nuclei wobble. When the nuclei flip orientation, they emit a tiny radio echo that can be detected, thereby signaling the presence of a particular substance. For example, brain activity is related to oxygen consumption, so the MRI machine can isolate the process of thinking by zeroing in on the presence of oxygenated blood. The higher the concentration of oxygenated blood, the greater the mental activity in that part of the brain. Today, functional MRI machines, fMRI, can zero in on tiny areas of the brain only a millimeter across in fractions of a second, making these machines ideal for tracing out the pattern of thoughts of the living brain.